The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Tonight I'm going to talk about mass deliverance from the spirits of infirmity. And those from Rio Linda, that means sickness. Infirmity, sicknesses, diseases. And have mass deliverance from that. And curses. Look at Psalm 38, verse 3. I'm just going to look at a few places in the Word, and then we're going to pray. These mass deliverance sermons have not had a whole lot of teaching. They've had far more ministry than teaching. And some people here have had so much teaching, they're just a walking concordance. But I want to show you a few verses here. Before we pray, let me ask you something first. How many of y'all are sick? All right, in any way? Well, okay. How many of y'all kind of have some kind of ailment, physical ailment? Maybe it's not obvious, it's not ongoing. I mean, it's not a big thing, but it's kind of an ongoing, low-grade ailment of some sort. Okay. How many of y'all in any way have suffered physically in infirmity from anything that your mom or dad or their mom and dad has had? That you recognize that what you suffer with is in the family generation. Hey, raise your hand. Okay. Well, we're going to be addressing this because I really believe there's a place in the Lord's kingdom for healing. And I really believe the ministry of healing is separate from the ministry of deliverance. I can show you that in the Word. Even in Mark 16, he says, they shall cast out demons and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. There's two separate ministries. It talks in 1 Corinthians 12 about their gifts of healings. One of the gifts is, stay there at Psalm 38. I'm just going to read something. One of the nine gifts of spirit is the gift of healing. But there's also a gift of discernment, which means to see through, to perceive. And it's a gift of discernment of spirits. So there are separate ministries. But what I show you is a lot of times they intermingle. And a lot of times ailments, infirmities, and diseases are caused by demons. Now, a lot of times they're not. But some of them are directly caused by demons. Or they're in your life because of a generational curse. And there's a demon, an unclean spirit, that manifests that curse in your life. Now, you can pray for healing all day long, and if you don't deal with the demon, you won't get healed. Are you hearing me? On those certain. Now, there are other diseases and infirmities that really there's no particular demonic activity involved. Okay? Usually there is to the degree they just will kind of want to exacerbate it, but it's not necessarily caused by a demon. And there are infirmities and sicknesses along that. It takes discernment. Are you with me? Discernment to know. So I think an effective minister of Jesus Christ needs to learn how to do two things. You need to learn how to pray for the sick. Amen? And you need to learn how to cast out demons. And sometimes when you pray for the sick, you're going to have to cast a demon out so that they'll get well. And other times you pray for the sick and there's no demon manifest at all. And I have been privileged over the years to see this. I'll never forget my first experience. I was at a conference in 1987. Is that right? Yeah. It was called Healing 87. It was a John Wimber conference and had John Wimber and Francis McNutt. And there were about 5,000 people. It was in Orange County, California. And we were just learning about the third wave method of healing, waiting on the Lord, other than this, not moving in that word faith stuff, but really learning how to move in effective supernatural signs and wonders. And I was, it's the first meeting I'd been to, we were exposed to this stuff, and I had come out of the deliverance stream. See, I went through and learned a lot about deliverance back in the early 80s, and by 87, that was the year we started this church, I pretty much handled every problem by moving in deliverance. You know, if I pray for sick, I just start moving in deliverance. I start rebuking. And frankly, that was imbalanced, and I didn't know it. That's all I knew. That's all I was schooled under. So it was really a blessing that I went to John Wimber's conference, and subsequently went to about four or five others around the country. And God really balanced me. Because I'll never forget, at one point he did, during the conference, it was a five-day conference, at one point after the preaching, they would have everyone minister to everybody. This was what I really liked about these conferences. They would have everyone do it themselves. It was to train the people to do it. It wasn't for the great guy on the stage to do it. It was to teach everyone to do it. And so two or three of us stood up, and we were praying for this lady. And she had some problem. And I remember immediately I put my hand on it, beginning to rebuke the demon. Come on, I rebuke it. And one of the brothers put his arm in my, his hand on my arm. He said, "Dial down. just dial down here. Slow down." And he said, "Let's just wait on the Lord." Now that was a new concept to me. I just thought it was usually rebuke the demon. That's why I'm a lot. So we waited on the Lord, and I just realized I was amongst people that knew what they were doing, and I didn't. So I got smart, and I waited on the Lord, and shut up. And he began to wait, and they began to minister. And do you know that lady got healed right there? I forget what the element. She got healed. I mean, she had a phenomena, and there was a significant healing. And I remember thinking, they didn't do nothing with the demon. And this was new to me, because my schooling, I was out of balance. Okay. And praise God, it was really cool. They... signs and wonders, healing, and didn't deal with the demon at all. Now, I went to some other conferences and saw in similar ways that there were instances where they would deal with the demon. So what it began to show me over the years, Hallie, I can see you getting cold back there. What it shows me over the years is that you've got to move in discernment. Can you hear an amen? And Jesus, when you look at the Gospels, I'm going to show you in a minute, Jesus did not work by any kind of formula. I mean, you can't put Jesus in a box. He would do it one way here and a total different way here and a total different way here, which says to me, he operated under the gifting of discernment. Amen? He just flowed as the Father flowed. He did, and you can't put Jesus in a box. But a couple of verses here, Psalm 38:3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, the psalmist says. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden that's too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And there's no soundness in my flesh. What we see in that verse, listen carefully, is a link between sin and sickness. He's talking about my iniquity and the subsequent result in his body. Look at Psalm 41, verse 3. Same thing. Just turn a page. 41:3 says, "Look, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." There again we see a link between sin and sickness. Now, some sickness is in a person's life as a result of sin. Can you understand? Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes it's a direct result of sin. Now, Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, when you break a hedge, a serpent shall bite you. When you begin to move out of the will of the Lord and move into any kind of iniquity, you can open the door and you can be attacked. Sins like rebellion, unforgiveness, bitterness, self-deceptions, compulsions. What they can do, when you give yourself over to a sin, you don't deal with the sin, you know what it does? It weakens your human spirit. It cripples your human spirit. In fact, there's a, it says, there's a proverb. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain this infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? In other words, a strong spirit, and when your spirit is strong, you can get through any kind of sickness. You've all heard about people that were maybe very ill, but they were strong in spirit, and you know they're going to survive. Amen? And you have other people that are just kind of beaten down, full of fear, very insecure, not very strong in their spirit. Shoot, they get a cold, they cripple up. You know? So the key is your strength. But when you sin, it weakens your spirit, and when your spirit is weakened, I believe it lowers the physical capacities to successfully fend off transference and germs. You literally can lower the potential ability of your immune system to fight off germs because of a weakening in the spirit. Are you hearing me today? Because we are intrinsically linked, spirit, soul, and body. And when somebody refuses to deal with a sin or hear correction or resolve an issue with someone, sometimes God will allow stuff to come in. Sometimes God will allow you to get sick. And in the scriptures I can show you God smote them with sickness. Now those are uncomfortable verses. Well, what that says to me is someone's moving in such rebellion, you know, they've let the hedge down, the enemy moves in, and God's not going to sit there and protect them apart from their free will. Look at the book of Job. You know, I mean, Satan was allowed to come in and do what? Anybody remember? Smite Job how? With sickness. But there was a reason, and Job 32:1 tells you why. He was self-righteous. He had a pride problem. He couldn't see it. And it took another subsequent, gosh, chapters and chapters, nine more chapters, in fact, the last five chapters, except the last one, was God in a whirlwind rebuking Job, but finally he snapped and came to terms with his pride, and at that point he was healed. One of the reasons healing is not immediate is because sometimes demons block because of legal ground. And I've shared this before, and it's really getting, my philosophy of healing over the years is getting simpler and simpler and simpler. And anything like the Lord, amen? It gets simpler and simpler. And my philosophy has gotten so simple now, it's simply I believe that when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Isn't that what it says? And I believe that's true. Period. I believe when I am a son of the living God, and you are a son or daughter of the living God, and when you lay hands on someone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, and Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. When you lay hands on someone, and you're right with God, and you're doing it in obedience to the Spirit, and you lay hands on them, the Bible says they shall recover. Do you believe that? Then how come sometimes people walk away and they're still sick? Well, good question. I'm glad you asked it. From that point on, there are two schools of thought that go off. Because the reality is in this world we live in, we lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, and they don't recover, there's a whole school of thought that says, well, brother, you just need to stand on the word. You just need to name and claim your healing. You just need to, you understand what I'm saying? It's a word faith. I submit to you, 97% of the time, it's presumption, and it ain't the Lord. The other 3% of the time may be when God genuinely speaks to stand on a word, or genuinely, yeah, and then you do it. But I would say the vast majority of the time, it's just given a bunch of words, and they walk off, and they're claiming and standing and believing, and on what? On a presumption. Now stay with me here. Don't turn that tape off. I see you punching for the button. Back off. Hear me out. Hear me out. The other direction, I believe, is this. When you lay hands on the sick and they shall not recover, is you simply ask why. You don't go off and say, oh, go stand on the line. You know, there's a cop out in that because then you don't have to pray for them anymore. Do you know there's big word faith teachers? There's word faith teachers that have multiple tens of thousands of followers, hundreds of thousands, even millions around. And I would name the names, you'd all know them. And I've heard them say and heard others. I know somebody who was a friend of one of these and knew them face to face said they don't believe in praying for anybody more than once. Because I believe in this. They need to stand on that belief. You know, that's error. Because Luke says, there's a scripture in Luke about the little woman who kept coming to the unjust judge and kept banging on the door. And she didn't give up. You understand? And he blessed her because of her importunity and her persistence. And that's a deception and an error. And it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. Well, I prayed for you, brother. You're just not believing. That's a cop-out. That avoids any on-hand laborious ministry. You don't have to minister to people. You have to get your hands dirty when you buy into that philosophy. I buy into a different philosophy. My philosophy is when you lay hands sick, they don't recover. We say, Lord, why? That's all. Why? You said they shall recover. Why? Not go, brother, and be healed. Now, I'm saying, remember 97%. There may be 3% at times when that is a valid, legitimate. But most of the time, it's presumption. The thing is, you say, why, Lord? Do you mind me putting my hand on you like this? It keeps you awake, man. See, I always like the teenager sitting up front, you know. You see, and you ask why. Why, Lord? And you know what? When you ask why, the Holy Ghost is usually more than happy to tell you. And that has to do with discernment. And then when the Holy Spirit begins to speak, he uses the gifts of the, and that's the gifts of the Spirit, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, revelation, discernment. He begins to speak. It may be why you're laying hands on them and you listen, and maybe the Holy Spirit says, well, the reason they're not getting healed is because they're full of bitterness. It's because they got somebody in their life they're not forgiven. Or they got some secret sin down in there they don't want to let go. And they want their cake and eat it too. They want the healing, but they want to hang on to the sin. Can you hear that? One of the things that grieved me once years ago, I saw one of these giant, well, I'll say who it was, Ken Copeland. He had a Ken Copeland meeting. It was a mass. Must have 10,000 people there. And he said, it must have been 10,000. He says, I have a word of knowledge. There's people here with AIDS. And I remember thinking, 10,000 people. Somebody showed it. Three of them came down. So he had three or four people with AIDS, and he went to each one of them. I'll never forget. He put his hand on their face. He said, be healed! Be healed! And he went to the next one. He did that, and everybody applauded, and they walked back to their seat, and they were healed. I remember sitting there and thinking, where's the part where you confront them about how they got the AIDS? I mean, in my understanding, in the majority of cases of AIDS, it involves some illicit sin. Can you imagine? It's so presumptuous to just do that. To me, if it was me, I'd come down and say, okay, brother, look at it. You got AIDS. How'd it happen? If we confess our sins, what? Confess your faults to one another and pray, right? Well, suddenly, you know, when you got 10,000 people with TV cameras on you, it's kind of hard to get into that dialogue. You just go, heal! See? But Jesus in the Bible pulled them aside. You understand? And he would minister to them. It says that Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her. Not only those, were big demons. Do you believe that happened in just one session? She hung out with him, man. She was one of the hanger-ons. In fact, I believe it says in Luke that she helped support his ministry in some ways. There was many times. There was an ongoing ministry to her. Cast out spirits. It was a process of ministry. I know they had a relationship because she was one of the first ones at the tomb. Remember? She loved that man. I mean, he gave of himself to her. He spent time with her. So, my point tonight is that I'm driving home. It's important that we understand that there's healing and there's deliverance. And sometimes they mix together. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 1. I'll just give you a few examples. Y'all know these stories. Mark 2, 1, Jesus entered Capernaum. And verse 2, straightway many were gathered, insomuch there was no room to receive them. This is Mark 2, verse 2. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached to her. This was, look, Jesus, you know when you light a fire, you don't have to send invitations. People just come to see a fire, amen? Jesus was lit on fire, man, and they just came to see him. And they came to him and brought one sick of paralysis. He was paralyzed. And this guy, there was this paralyzed guy on a cot. And they couldn't come nigh to him because all the people, they uncovered the roof where he was. Apparently some kind of thatch roof, I don't know. Began to lower him down. When they broke it up, they let down this bed wherein the man who was sick of paralysis lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, and King James really saw their faith. See, faith is something you do. He said, that's what faith. He said, sons, your sins were forgiven you. Now, this, I want you to see what, why Jesus did this. At this point, there doesn't seem to be mention of sins. He's just, the guy's paralyzed and they brought him to get healed. What's the first thing Jesus addresses? His sins. But there were certain of the scribes reasoning, saying, why does this man speak blasphemy? Who could forgive sins but God? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason, he said, why do you reason these things? What's easier to say, the sick of the paralysis? Your sins are forgiven or take up your bed? Well, it's really easier to say your sins are forgiven. Amen? Oh, your sins are forgiven. He says, but that you may know that I have the power to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the paralysis, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house. And immediately he arose, took her. In other words, he was instantly healed. Now, what I want you to see here is in this case, Jesus discerned immediately that this man's paralysis was a result of unforgiven sin. You see that? He looked at him, and I believe, because I've seen this happen to me a lot in the gift of discernment of spirits, when someone comes up to pray, a lot of times the Spirit will speak to me. He immediately knew his guy's problem is not paralysis. He is laboring apparently under a bunch of guilt. He's beating himself up. I don't understand, but there was, he needed to be released. He needed to know he was forgiven. And when he broke the power of unforgiveness off of him, what happened? Then he could speak, and he was healed. That wasn't without a reason. It just so happened the Pharisees happened to throw in their little 2 cents. There was a reason Jesus said like that, because that was what was needed in that case. He knew that dealing with sin was a prerequisite to healing. Now look at John 5, verse 10. John 5, 10. This is a guy that was laying 38 years. He'd been sick, and he was sitting around a pool waiting for the waters to move. It never would happen. And Jesus, you know the story, came up to him and told him to rise up and take his bed. Now look at verse 10. The Jews said to the guy that had been healed, "It's a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he said, "Well, he that made me whole, the same said, take up your bed." They said, "Well, what man is that which said unto you, take up your bed and walk?" And he did not know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away a multitude in that place. But after Jesus found him in the temple, I really like that. You know, Jesus was looking for this guy. And he said to him, "Look, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest what?" Now, again, there's a reason Jesus said this. Because in this man's case, this 38-year-old sickness, it was the result of sin. And he discerned sin was the root. And he said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing." I believe he was probably speaking to something specific. There was some specific sin in this man's life that brought on this disease. And he finally gets healed. You know, apparently the guy went, "Don't worry, Lord." I mean, after 38 years, I'm ready to repent. Can you amen? You see, all sickness is a result of sin in one sense, because it's a result of the original sin of the fall. So in one sense, sickness and sin is always related. But listen, in many cases, infirmities, diseases, and sicknesses are the result of other things. And some of them, a lot of times, I believe more times than we would understand, our infirmities, diseases, and sicknesses are latent generational curses. They're things that pass down the family line. Inherited, bloodline, generational blights and afflictions. It's simply that. You know, that's nothing profound. Any doctor worth his salt, when you go in for a physical or you have a problem, you know what they're going to ask you? Your family history. Amen? Well, did your mother have a problem along this line? Did your father? I mean, it's commonly known that certain things pass down. But it's also true, what they don't address a lot of time is the reality of the curses. And I have a 2-part sermon I do on this. I recently did it at a conference up in Oklahoma. The spiritual roots of sickness. And there's some fascinating scripture in that shows specific sins can result in specific diseases. And I have those tapes, and they're in our tape and booklet catalog out there. I think only a buck or two. And it's entitled Discerning the Roots of Diseases. All scripturally based. For instance, rebellion. I can show you places in scripture. Rebellion can be the root of eye problems or heart disease. And depression can be very much the root of bone diseases and stomach problems. Clearly, there's places in the Proverbs and Psalms that tie in the dryness of the bones, the withering of the bones, and bitterness and heaviness, unrepentant sin, pride and haughtiness. Do you know pride and haughtiness can affect the reproductive organs? That's in Isaiah, the first chapter or two there. It can be actually the root of scalp diseases and skin diseases, pride and haughtiness. There are scriptures that link these things together. And the interesting thing is some of these sins may have been committed by our forefathers. And there's some fascinating verses in Job. There's even one that a betrayal can result in an eye problems. And it says the sins of the children will, the sins of the fathers will be visited to the children. So the bottom line is you say, well, man, that sounds, well, how do I deal with all that? You know, that's why you need discernment. That's why you don't just run off and name it and claim it and just stand. That's why you need to ask the Lord why. Can you understand? So the Holy Spirit can show you. And it says the Spirit is coming, He will guide you into all truth. Remember that? When I send you the Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. He's a comforter. He's sent to give revelation and understanding and knowledge and reveal things. That's why we come to the Lord and we listen to the Spirit. It says the Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God is interested. My people perish for lack of knowledge. God is interested. We have knowledge and understanding and wisdom about why we are the way we are and why it's affecting us. You know? Maybe it's that you have a particular problem with a fear. There's a tormenting fear that harasses you. A panic. Let's say panic attack. You know, you just panic and freak out. Well, you know, if you go to the Lord and ask why, the Holy Spirit may reveal to you and let them so do it like in dreams. Or he'll just... You do it in one of those things where you just suddenly come into, you know, read a magazine article. You know what I'm saying? You read something in the Word. God begins to speak to you. You begin to get revelation. You find yourself talking to your mom on the phone, and she suddenly talks about her panic attacks when she was a kid. Out of nowhere. You know what I'm talking about? Hello? Are y'all out there tonight? Hallie's getting cold again. I'm telling you, when you seek the Lord, you say, Lord, give me wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, God will give it. And so you get out and you stand and go, oh, and then you go to the Lord and say, Lord, that's in my family, man. Panic attacks. And you know what you do then? You say, Lord, why? Why is it in my family? Why is my family line affected with panic attacks? Well, there's often a reason for that. It's a curse. You go to the Lord and you ask Him. That's when you get down to the deep stuff. It may be because there's Cherokee blood. Maybe because those Indian curses on the family line. Maybe because those Germanic curses. Maybe because, who knows, maybe your mother, or maybe in another generation, maybe just that when you were 6 years old, a babysitter locked you in a closet for 12 hours. You know what I'm saying? And ever since then, you've had panic attacks or claustrophobia. Well, how are you going to know that? You know, God will show you. Hello? Particularly when you sit with others. One thing we have a lot here is prayer sessions, and we do a lot of prayer sessions, but we literally minister to people one-on-one. We pray and we listen to the Holy Spirit. Hour and a half, 2 hours, and a lot of times the word of knowledge, and God will begin to reveal. And somebody get a vision or a picture of the Spirit. Sure enough, a person was hidden in a closet when they were six. And that's where a spirit came in. A spirit of fear came into the person at that age. And they're in bondage. And here they are 35, and they suffer from it every day. Well, praise God. Once you get the revelation, the knowledge, then they can confess, and they have to forgive, and they break that demon, they cast it out. See, you see what I'm saying? You ask the Lord why about all of these things. Are y'all with me tonight? Now listen, I want you to do something right now. I want you to stand up. Exactly. Right where you hold your Bible in your hand and stand up. Everybody in the room, stand up. Everybody, come on. Now listen. There's a spirit of slumber coming in the room. I can feel it. You see, at this point of the teaching, the devil, he's beginning to go, it's getting a little warm in here. Hallie, I'm going to have to turn that thing down. And I'm telling you, when I'm talking some pretty down-home stuff, the devil don't want you to hear this. Can you hear that? And it's interesting. If I was sitting here talking about, oh, we just name and claim, you know, y'all would be just bright-eyed. There wouldn't be no slumber in the room. But when I start talking about the demons and generational curses, all these demons go, ha! Yeah, and they start just dropping this pixie dust in the room. Now say this after me, Satan. You're a liar. You ain't going to pluck this word out of my heart. I command every spirit, heavy spirit, slumbering spirit, distracting spirit, to go now in Jesus' name. I peak your power, Satan. I command you to go now. Leave. Come on, take a deep breath. Let these things go. What you think? Go. Okay, now sit down. Hallelujah. Look. Well, I got one more verse. One more verse. Turn to Luke 13. Last place we're going to look. We're going to pray. But I wanted to get that thing while it was hovering around here. Amen? I want to see the Lord move. I'm not interested in giving us facts. I want to see reality. And this is the last place we're going to look, but I want you to see this real clear. And Jesus was in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, and behold, there was a woman who had, do you notice it says, look, spirit of infirmity. Is that how your versions read? Hello? Is that how your versions read? King James reads spirit of infirmity. A spirit of sickness. I'm telling you, there's sickness, there's demons, and then there's spirits of infirmity. 18 years, and she was battled. I mean, this woman, this demon had her. It was a demon now. It was a demon. Had her bent over like this. You ever see people like that? Not often. When I was overseas in the third world, I saw people of all kind of physical contortions. They don't have the social net, Medicare, Medicaid, and the kind of stuff we have in the States. People walk around like the first century, malformed and crippled. Well, this woman was like that. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Look, this woman didn't even have to, Jesus called her to him. He just had compassion. That's interesting. He went over and said, you come over here. He said, woman, you are loosed from what? Your infirmity. Now I like that. You know, the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on heaven, but whatever you what? Loose. He just, I loose you. You are loosed in Jesus' name. Because Jesus didn't have to say in Jesus' name. He just said, you are! And it happened. And he laid his hands on her. That's interesting. He said it, but then he laid his hands on her. Now, somebody once said, when you cast out demons, do you lay hands on demons? Well, hello, there it is. Did she have a demon? Did he lay his hands on her? And immediately, she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. There they are again. These low-life religious people. There they are. I mean, it's an incredible miracle. Well, they were all mad because he did it on the Sabbath day. He says, there are 6 days which you ought to get healed, but don't come on the Sabbath. What a petty bunch of. And Jesus said, you hypocrite. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him to watering? I mean, hello, he nailed him. Can you imagine? Poor donkey, sorry donkey, no water today. 24 hours, just sit there. I mean, come on, they loose and they can come over the water. He says, well, you loose your beast for water. Ought not this woman, our daughter of Abraham, notice he says, whom Satan has bound. It's really interesting. He said, Satan has bound her 18 years. Shouldn't she be loosed? See, let me tell you, unclean spirits, a lot of sicknesses, this is the way I look at it, a lot of sicknesses and diseases and infirmities, they're either a spirit or there's a spirit blocking the healing. Are you hearing? Now, I do a lot of teaching on healing, on waiting on the Spirit, on learning to hear the voice of the Lord, on doing what you hear. That's not to take away from this. That's totally legitimate. And there's a lot to understand about how to pray for the sick and see him heal. And it doesn't mean every time you minister in healing you need to move in deliverance, but it means every time you minister in healing you need to be ready to move in deliverance. Amen? There was another time where Jesus, I think I just had the passage written down in my notes. Yeah, in Matthew 12, it says, this guy came to Jesus, you don't have to turn to it, he was blind and dumb, he couldn't talk. And it says, and Jesus cast out the evil spirit. And that was when the Pharisees said, he doth cast out devils by Beelzebub. In other words, this guy, look, he was blind and he couldn't talk. There was a demon, apparently, blinding him and affecting his vocal cords. And Jesus cast out the demon, and the blind saw, and he spoke. That's in Matthew 12. And then Matthew 9, there was another example. There was this guy Of course, this was kind of, he had what we call epilepsy. And, you know, everybody ever seen it? So was it a fit? Epileptic fit? One time I was working at a drafting office, and a bunch of arrogant guys and pompous guys, and I was about nine guys, I've told stories about this place before, back in the 60s, 70s, and I was the only one saved, and they all knew it, and they'd mock me. And there was this one guy, he was kind of Mr., you know, Tom Cruise, good-looking, sharp. He was kind of the debonair, and we're all a bunch of draftsmen. This is the dark ages before computers. They actually had pencils and paper, and they would draft. And this guy, I remember one time, he was sitting there, and he was always cool, and they mentioned about this lady down the hall on the way to everybody. You know, we always walked down to it was an office complex where the places where you bought snacks was. And there was this lady that says, "Ah, I saw that secretary. You know, she's a pretty hot babe." Somebody said, "I think she's married." He says, "So?" I remember he just went, "So?" I'm like, "That's not going to stop me." I mean, he was Mr. Cool. And I remember thinking there, man, that guy's he's a scumbag. You know, he's just so full of himself. And it was really hard to relate to him because he kind of walked, "Do you know, one day," this is incredible, "one day I'm sitting there in the middle of a hot afternoon, he fell back off his stool and went into an epileptic fit." And his, you know, where you're reaching, and my boss ran in. My boss was a spiritual Christian, by the way, at that time. He hired me because we went to the same church. And he came running in. And he looked at me, and I looked at him. We began to speak in tongues. And he reached his hand in the guy's mouth and pulled the tongue. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And this guy's on the floor flailing like a chicken with his head cut off. And he's pulling the tongue out. He's drooling. And I'm looking at him and saying, "Where's that debonairness now?" I didn't mean to be cruel, but I thought that guy had an insufferable spirit of arrogance on him. And that demon, that thing manifested. It was so fine. A bunch of heathens. And here's Harold Clothier, the boss, and me. We're going, speaking in tongues. Well, finally, he came to. He kind of ruffles his clothes. And, you know, he never was the same after that. He never was Mr. Cool. In fact, it was good because his chip fell off his shoulder. From that point on, he didn't have that thing on him. And it was true. And he was more open to the Lord. But, you know, I didn't realize it. And I saw that thing. And I remember looking at that. And I've seen, how many of y'all have seen that really been close to someone in an epileptic fit? Did you know that's a demon? Hello? I mean, that is a demon. And that's in Luke 9. I think it's Luke 9 and Mark 9. This guy would throw his kid. This demon would throw him. It says it's often throws him into the fire and the water. His mouth would foam. And Jesus cast that devil out. But you know, the disciples couldn't cast that devil out. Remember, he was up on the mountain. He came down and they couldn't do it. And you wonder why this is the account. I think it's almost three times in the Gospels, this story. And Jesus said, well, the reason you can't cast it out, in other words, you're going to have to pay the price. Some don't come out, but by fasting and prayer. In other words, look, you know, it's not hard to cast an old headache demon out, you know, a pressure spirit. But we're talking deep-rooted. These things are deep-rooted. And it takes serious proximity to Jesus, you understand, to take on those suckers and to cast them out. But what a blessing when someone can be delivered of epilepsy. And so that disease is really demonic. Now I'll tell you something interesting. In many of the cases that I found where people had epilepsy, there's masonry in their family. Almost every time. Masonry, particularly in this area, is a horrible curse. I just drove up to City Hall the other day. This is why we got this demon over Pasadena. Drove up to City Hall and parked the car. I was going in to talk to the building permit guy so we can get our building permit. Parked the car and looked out, and there's this cornerstone of the City Hall of Pasadena dedicated by the Masons. Big old. I said, okay. That's what rules over this place. And I don't want to get into all that masonry is, but let's just say it's a Luciferian religion. Oh, you talk to the average Mason, he wouldn't believe that. He thinks just a bunch of good old boys go down and drink beer. No, it's a religion. And it has a god, and the god is the god of light. The word Lucifer means light bearer. You ever heard of lucite wall paint? That word, same root. Lucite means light. It has light beams off of it. It reflects light. Luce. Isn't that the Spanish word for what? Luce. For light. Lucifer. And I found, so one thing we found is when you encounter someone that has epilepsy, often they have to take these drugs. I mean, they have to take these drugs. They just drug them down so they can drive or... You know, you ought to talk to them, ask them if there's any Mason in the family. You'd be amazed. Now, I don't think it's exclusive to that, but in my experience, a lot of times it is. And if they're willing to get in some deliverance, man, and get those masonry curses, renounce those things, break those curses off of them, you'd at least cut off the supply lines for the demons. You understand? And start starving them out and they can have deliverance. And we have seen, I have seen people delivered from epilepsy. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all want to be free? I want you to say this after me. Jesus, I confess my sins to you tonight. Of rebellion, giving into depression, or unbelief, or fear, pride, arrogance, or haughtiness. Listening to mocking voices that make fun of the things of the Spirit. Antichrist spirits. Running to the medicine and to the doctor instead of to Jesus. Now I want to just say right here, I'm not against medicine. Medicine is to be differentiated from drugs. I'm not against medicine. But I think we need to go to the divine physician first. Can you hear me, man? If any is sick, what does it say? Let him go to the medicine cabinet and reach for the... Well, what does it say? Call to the elders of the church. Give God a chance. Give God a chance to heal. So, say this. Jesus, I want to be free from sin that gives ground to the enemy and opens me up to physical ailments, diseases, curses, and infirmities. I pray for discernment, clarity in the spirit, open my eyes to see the roots, to see exactly where and how these things have come into my life or the lives of my children, so I can pray intelligently for your mercy and against the devil. Come, Holy Spirit, with discernment in this room. Grant me understanding, revelation, through dreams, visions, memories, divine encounters. I lay my sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, weaknesses, I lay them at your feet tonight. I cry out to you to do whatever it takes to heal me and to break the curses once and for all so they don't pass down the generational line. Right after that, I have to deal with an allergy. Lord, hallelujah. Well, Father, I pray that you'd send the Holy Ghost now as I pray, and you'd come with clarity in the spirit world, Lord. Because I thank you that it is written that one shall put 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight, and we shall cast out devils. We have authority over every unclean thing. You said, behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for your power. Lord, I pray right now that you would send lots of angels in this room. And anyone that's listening to this tape, Lord, wherever they are, send lots of angels, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, they would be delivering angels, be warrior angels. As I speak to these ailments and afflictions and diseases, Lord, that you would just sovereignly quicken to different ones. As I say things, that you would sovereignly quicken memories of, oh, that's that my mom had that, or my dad, or my siblings have that, or you would bring up events from childhood, or specific things, Lord, that would be little keys that different ones can grab a hold of, and they'll be the key to unlock the door, to open the prison door, and to let them free, and to bring the healing. Because I believe, Lord, that you want, who forgives all thy iniquities, you said in the Psalms, who healeth all thy diseases. It is your will that we be healed, Lord, for himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed. That's not just some little verse we quote. It's a reality, Lord, that we have to seek you. And when we seek you, we shall find you, and we shall find that which we're looking for. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, in the name of the Lord, I come against every spirit of infirmity in this room. Every spirit, every ailment, every spirit that is either, sicknesses that are either a demon, literally the sickness is a demon, lodged in the body, or where the demon is blocking and hindering and covering and prohibiting the healing anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow. I'm addressing both of those spirits tonight in this room. The demons that are actually, you are the sickness, or you are so wrapped around the sickness that healing cannot flow. And the host of the person is blind to your presence. In the name of the Lord, I take authority of you, spirits. Father, I pray for enlightenment in the spirit world to see these things, to see where they're wrapped around in the, like Jesus cast the demon out of the man, that was wrapped around the man's vocal cords and wrapped around the man's eyeballs and optic nerves. Lord, I pray that you would show where these demons are. I pray that you would open the eyes of the people here. They would see. Lord, you would give them a flash in the spirit and they would see. Once and for all, I pray for separation. Father, I pray that you take the two-edged sword and divide between soul and spirit, Lord, all the way to the joints and marrow, Lord, and just tie it all the way down to the bone, Lord, that the enemy would be exposed in the name of Jesus. I come against tonight all the diseases in the bones in Jesus' name, all the decay, all the rotting of the bones, all the weakening of the bones in Jesus' name. Not maybe just because of calcium deficiencies in the natural, but because of forgiveness deficiencies. Lord, where there's been bitterness. Lord, where there's been resentment. Lord, where there's been hanging on to the right. Hanging on to the right to be right. Lord, the refusal to forgive. Refusal to have mercy. Lord, I break the curse of the disease in the bones. I break the infirmity in the bones tonight in Jesus' name. Where there's been hanging on to the rights to be right. Where there's been hanging onto the rights to judge. For the Bible says, whatever you judge, you shall be judged. Whatever as you measure out, it's going to be measured back to you. Well, we cancel that tonight. Say this after me, saints. In the name of Jesus, I renounce judging. I renounce bitterness. I renounce hanging on my rights. Father, forgive me. Send the Holy Ghost and heal the consequences of this sin, that I would be quick to forgive, that I would give mercy, Lord. For you said, blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. And you also said, whatever measure I judge, I'll be judged. Father, cancel the curse tonight. Satan, get out of my bones. Get out of my ligaments. Get out of my tendons in Jesus' name. Get out of every fiber of my skeletal being. In the name of Jesus, I command you demons to go. I cast the demons out tonight. I cast you out in the name of the Lord. Every generational curse of bitterness, whining and complaining and backbiting and murmuring and judging and despising and gossiping and divisiveness and slander and sowing discord, I beat the curse of that out of the bones tonight. Hand of the Lord. Come on, agree with me. You resist the devil. The Bible says submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You have to say directly to any spirit that may be wrapped up around your bone. You have to tell it to go tonight. It has to hear your voice. It hears mine. Believe me, it hears mine. But it needs to hear your will. It's your will that casts it out. It's your free will that they're threatened about. I command every demon that's wrapped up around the base of the spine, Every demon spirit that's just wrapped around a spinal cord hits the pelvic bone in the name of the Lord. Every demon power, every kundalini spirit, every snake spirit, I take your power and I command you to come out tonight. Every spirit like a vine that's wrapped around and gone up the spine and wrapped around the different discs and caused dislocation of the discs, a weakening of the discs, a disintegration of the discs, in Jesus' name, I beat that snake in Jesus' name. Go! I command you to go tonight. Go in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray tonight that you would strengthen the bones in the name of the Lord. Did you know as you bless those that curse you, I really believe as you bless, and it makes sense as a corollary here. If, as you study the word, that a lot of the bone diseases and bone weaknesses come because of bitterness and resentment, I believe the corollary is true. As you bless those that curse you, as you love your enemies, you strengthen your bones. And there are scriptures that say that. A merry heart does good like a medicine. There are scriptures that talk about strengthening of the bones. As you go the extra mile, you say, Lord, let me give mercy quick. Let me be quick to forgive, quick to offer mercy. I want a healing. I want mercy to come back on me in double fold, triple fold, good measure, passed down, shaken together and running over. I'm sick of reaping, for God has not mocked. Whatever you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But whatever you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Say this after me, Jesus, help me to bless those that do me wrong, that mercy would flow into my body. Father, I pray right now that mercy would flow. I pray you'd open the taps of mercy from heaven. Father, those that have open hearts, Father, we've quickly repented. Lord, where there's repentance, I pray mercy would flow. Mercy from the spirit realm would flow right now in the bones. Right now, Lord, in the spirit, I pray you just begin to fill the bones, Lord. Repack the bones with substance, O Lord. Strengthen the bones, Lord Jesus. Strengthen the exterior, Lord, the marrow. Lord, all the way down, I pray, Lord, you'd recreate, reform, Lord. Strengthen even the old bones, Lord. Oh, Jesus, like that prophecy in Ezekiel, where bone came to bone, and you breathed life into the bones. I pray tonight, you breathe life into those bones. Come, wind of God in this place. Hand of the Lord, take a deep breath. Come, wind of God, heal. Heal in Jesus' name. This has got to be the Spirit because I haven't even begun to look at the list yet. Come, Lord. More, Lord. Just flow your mercy. Flow your mercy. Receive, folks. Receive mercy from Jesus. Right now, in the Spirit, at this moment, God loves you. God loves you. God cares. God wants you healed. God wants you whole. God wants to do miraculous things in your life. Just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Strengthen me, Jesus. Pour your oil from heaven. Oh, strengthen my... There's a scripture that says, strengthen the weak knees. Strengthen in Jesus' name. Lift up the feeble hands. Strengthen them. Strengthen, Lord. Strengthen. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might tonight. Lord, pour down the milk of the Word that we could be spiritually calcified, Lord, and strengthened in every way. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. More, Lord. More, Lord. Every spirit that would bend the body, like that woman we saw, every spirit, I command in the name of Jesus, loose. Those devils, loose these saints tonight in Jesus' name. Every spirit that would bow the back. Come on, loose, loose, loose. Came in the Lord Jesus, loose the saints. Loose them. Loose them in Jesus' name. Crippling spirits that would cripple in the name of the Lord. Any spirits lodged in the knees in the name of the Lord, the elbows, go. Particularly the knees, go. Pecs, go. Hand of the Lord Jesus. Loose. Loose in Jesus' name. From the feet in the name of the Lord. Any crippling spirits, go. Come on, take a deep breath. Let these things go tonight. In the name of Jesus, I come against every cancer. Every cancer in Jesus' name. Ulomosi telema chronic cancers. Histotoloma cancers I wish I knew more medical terms. I see these things in the spirit and I don't know how to enunciate them. I usually need a nurse here. Ulomosi telema. I'm seeing, is it cervical cancer? What is that?
loss.
Does that have to do with a woman's reproductive organs? Okay. In the name of Jesus, I just saw that in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of cervical cancer in Jesus' name. Any cancer come down the family line, any cancer, wherever that's inherited, whatever sin brought that in, I break the power of cervical cancer in the name of Jesus. Any cancer, I just had a flash in the spirit, belly button navel, some kind of cancer having to do where it passed through the lifeline in the birthing process. I break any cancer that passed down through that tube in the name of Jesus. When the child was being fed in that way, and then we cancel any flowing from that. I break the power of that guy. Command any demon that flowed in through the navel in Jesus' name. I cancel it. Break its power in Jesus' name. Okay, blood disease. I see blood diseases. Any cancers having to do with the blood? In the name of the Lord. Father, I pray that you would stabilize the blood tonight in the name of Jesus. Right now, bring the blood count, Lord Jesus, to the proper balance. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, in Jesus' name. We break all the cancers in the blood. Go. The Bible says the life is in the blood. Father, we're washed in the blood. In the name of Jesus, I cast all the cancers out of the blood in Jesus' name. All the infections in the blood. All the cells that would multiply and cause a weakening of the immune system, I break your power in Jesus' name. Go! Change it to go. Who's the saints? Who's him the power? Jesus Christ shed his blood. He poured out his blood, and by his stripes we are healed. Go. Go. Father, send miraculous power into the bloodstreams, Lord, and heal tonight in Jesus' name. Chronic weaknesses. Weaknesses. Come on. Fainting spells. Lightheadedness. Come on. Any spirit having to do with our equilibrium that affects our balance in the name of the Lord, that's got a hole in it. It's tendencies to often where you lose balance, you get dizzy a lot, dizziness, frequent dizziness, car sickness, sickness, come on, what do you call that? Motion sicknesses, go, peak the power of those spirits that got a hold of these things, peak your power, change you to go in Jesus' name, go from that part of the body, change you to go. Come on, take a deep breath. I need y'all to fight with me, man. There's spiritual warfare going on in the room right now. Just need you to kind of work with me on this. Come on, be aggressive. Particularly if any of these affect you. Congestions. Sinus congestions. Repeated sinus problems in Jesus' name. Constant congestions. Lack of proper flow in the sinus cavities in the name of the Lord. In the lungs. In the name of Jesus, any demon attached to that, I pick your power, command you to leave the saints tonight. Come on, come on, come on, go, hand you to go. Resist the devil, folks. You have to resist. Come on, fight with me, man. Don't get passive. Diabetes. Father, we pray mercy on any generation. How many of y'all have diabetes in your family line? Raise your hand. Okay, put it down. How many of y'all have diabetes now? Okay, raise your hand again if you have it in the family line. Okay, put them down. Father, I pray everyone that just raised their hand, including this brother who suffers it now, I pray in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that you would deliver them from the generational curse of diabetes. That they do not have to carry that. That it will. We speak in Jesus' name to the whole function of the blood sugar in the body. We speak normality. We speak divine balance in the name of the Lord. And we break the demonic curse. Break the power. The diabetic curse. Break it. You diabetic demons. I change you to go. We bind you. And break your power. You cannot affect these saints. We forbid you to resurrect. We forbid you to manifest. We bind you down. Father, I pray, take some angels and chain those things down. Bind them. Peak your power. Name of the Lord. You will not manifest. Name of Jesus. Digestion problems. How many have digestion problems? Lots of stomach ailments. Lots of stomach problems. Lots of gas and diarrhea and these types of things. In the name of the Lord, Father, I pray mercy. Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would flow right now into everyone's digestive system. Lord, through the stomachs, Lord, through all the organs inside that are part of the function, Father, that you would create proper functioning in every demon, every unclean spirit, everything that's wrapped around, inhibits, or hinders. I pick your power, hinge you to go in Jesus' name. Go, go, hinge you to go, loose the saints. Now, hate that power, you spirit of... Jesus promises health. Jesus promises healing. Go, devil, go. Loose these saints tonight in Jesus' name. Ear infections, chronic ear infections. There are certain, a lot of times, ear problems. I know I have them at times. Sometimes they happen simply because you do things that are not wise. Amen? Like getting water in ears. But sometimes it can be a chronic thing. It can be either demonic or it can be linked, or it can be a demonic thing hinders you. Father, I pray. And also, I want to say this too. There's the balance of you need to keep your health. You need to do things to keep you healthy. Come in, amen? You need to eat wisely. You need to eat balanced. You need to try, you know, I believe regular fasting is, if you don't eat the best kinds of foods, then praise God, at least regularly fast. Give your body a chance to purge it out. Amen? And treat your body wise. There's a scripture that says moderation in all things. Do everything moderate. And be wise. And that you will limit and hinder a lot of these diseases in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray to heal the ear infections in the name of Jesus. Ears and eyes tonight. Any demons that are wrapped up inside the ear canal, any spirits are behind the eyes, the optic nerves, any part of the eyes, in the name of Jesus. Dimness of eyes that would hinder us. It says, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, and behold the land very far off. I believe that God wants to deliver us from far. He wants to give us farsightedness and nearsightedness. He wants us to be able to see both ways in Jesus' name without hindrance. We break the power of that curse in Jesus' name. We peak it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray in your mercy. Come on, fight with me, folks. Some of y'all say, well, that's not my problem. Come on, fight for somebody else next to you. Lord, by calabosa tidima. Female problems. All the women that have any kind of problems in the reproductive system. We don't go into a bunch of details about that. Father, I pray right now you would just come with the Spirit of the Lord right now on the wombs, Lord. Come with the Spirit of God. Come, Spirit of God. Father, come where there's been dysfunction, Lord. Father, where there's been damage, Lord Jesus. Father, where there's been cesareans. Father, where there's anything that's malfunctioned in those areas. Father, where there's a... The Spirit is quickening me. A lot of women suffer from a lot of depression because of ailments in that area. Father, I just pray you would disconnect, break off the depression and the emotional upheavals, Father, with the reproductive cycles that women go through in Jesus' name. A lot of that's just a curse. We break the depression. There's the normal reproductive cycle, but you don't have to buy into the depression. You don't have to buy into the emotional mood swings. You don't have to buy into coming under in the name of Jesus. Amen? I break that spirit that lies that a woman has to go through at the stage and just be a tyrant. I break that demon in Jesus' name. I break that spirit. Jesus Christ gives us the authority to go through anything with peace and grace. Frequent diarrhea in the name of the Lord. We break the power, any roots of this. What is that? Father, it ties into the proper digesting. Funguses. Father, I pray that you would heal the root of any fungus. Lord Jesus, any kind of skin problem, Lord, skin diseases, skin growths, skin ailments, in Jesus' name, rashes. In the name of the Lord, Father, we break. One time I prayed for a guy and saw him instantly healed of a rash when he renounced his masonry background. In the name of the Lord, I pray for revelation, that you would give revelation to different ones, what the cause of the rash may be. A lot of times what a rash is something inside of you is trying to get out and you're not sharing it or you're not repenting of it, so it's coming out some other way. Lord, I pray you would just expose what it is inside and let it out, vent it out legitimately. It doesn't come out in some illegitimate way on the body. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Everything having to do with the heart. Heart attacks, heart diseases, heart circulatory problems in Jesus' name. Was it palpitating heart? dysfunctional heart, heart that races, heart that beats too slow. Raise your hand if either of your parents or grandparents had heart problems. Raise your hand. And just died of a heart disease or a heart attack. Okay. Lord, I thank you that you said, fear not, for you said you will put in us a new heart. Now, we know you are speaking spiritually, but we believe, Lord, you want to do it in the physical. Because you said old things have passed away, all things have become new. I pray right now, in the power of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring healing, whole hearts. Father, that you would break every generational curse, every family line affliction having to do with the circulatory nature of the heart, Lord, the arteries, hardening of the arteries, Lord. Father, that in your mercy, even where there's been excess of certain foods that add to that, in your mercy, Father, you would just bring flat-out healing. And we break the generational curses. We break everything. Come down the family line. For those who have suffered heart problems, you know, it's interesting. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. One time the Lord quickened that a lot of heart troubles are because of fear. That's what Jesus said right in that passage. People that give themselves over to fear, they open the door to heart trouble. And it's, we're not given what? A spirit of fear. Now, I come against that fear in the name of the Lord, the family line fear, where there's been insecurity and fear and control and manipulation. I beat that psychic curse. And every heart problem and heart trouble that's rooted in the fear, the curse of fear, the anxieties, the worries, the trepidations, speaking fear, self-inflicted curses of fear, I pick your power and I pick your hold off the heart. Every demon of fear that's got your talons buried down inside of the chambers of the heart, I command you to pull those talons out tonight. Amen, the Lord. I command you to loose. Jesus' name. Pick your power, your spirit. I command you to pull the talons out. I cast you from these saints. Break that curse once and for all in the name of the Lord. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. We don't have to walk under the curses of our forefathers. Hallelujah. Jesus. High headaches, migraine headaches, continual headaches, ongoing headaches. Pressures around the head in Jesus' name. I've got a sermon I'm working on, and I'm going to be doing, you know, mind control. I'm going to do a whole sermon on that. Really look in the Word. This is how I draw the crowds, by the way. But a lot of these headaches are caused by nothing more than spirits. Now, sometimes they're caused because you've been eating sugar all day. All right, amen? There are some headaches that are caused because of things you eat. You know, or you stay up too late, you're not balanced, but you know, sometimes they're very demonic. Amen? And so in the name of the Lord, we come against the demonic spirits that are wrapped around and in any way causing pain in the head. Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ, on his head, he allowed them to take deep thorns and they pierced his head. Are you hearing me? And I saw a picture once in a Bible dictionary of the thorn bushes in Palestine. I don't know if you've ever seen those things. You know, we have thorns. We think of rose bush, little thorns like this. You know how big those thorns were? They said they believe this is the crown. They've actually made, listen, a crown of thorns. And these suckers were this long. I mean, they're like hypodermic needles. It was wicked looking. And they that's what they believe they use. And they pierced his head, a crown. And they literally would take something and beat him on the head. And pound that. And they were punching. Did you know it says they punched him in the face? And Isaiah it's 50, it says they pulled his beard out. They spit on his face. They punched him. He was bloodied. And do you know it says in Isaiah 53, he was marred in that we couldn't even know him. He was disfigured. Almost to the point of unrecognizability. And those thorns that went into his skull, what I believe, what came out, the blood that came out, that blood heals our minds. Can I amen? He took horrible, and you know, the demons, they come at you like thorns. That's exactly how the demons come. They pierce your mind like fiery darts. You know? And they sting you, and I'm telling you, you don't have to put up with that, because Christ took that. And that blood. Father, I pray in your mercy, in the Spirit, that the blood of Jesus that poured out of the scalp of the Savior of the world, that you would pour it on every mind here tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, every demon that's got a hold of these people's minds, I take your power, and I apply the blood of the Savior of the world. Name of the Lord Jesus. The blood that poured and gushed out of his head and the crown of thorns, because we've been crowned. He was crowned with thorns. We can be crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I break your power, devils. I command you to go. Every infirmity spirit, every lying spirit, every mind control tormenting spirit, I command you to go tonight. I break your power to these minds in the name of the Lord. Throbbing headaches. Go from the back of the eyes in Jesus' name. Go! Can't you to go. Pain, go. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Go. Take a deep breath. Let those spirits go tonight. Receive and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for your healing tonight. Oh, pains that travel about the body. You know, sometimes we have pains that don't make any sense. Sometimes we have pains. You know, I pray for people, and I've seen where literally you pray for somebody, and the pain was here, and it moves here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you pray, and it moves over here. Hello? Oh, what are we dealing with? It's a demon. One time I prayed for a lady. I'll tell you a story. And I had the weirdest vision. This was about, 15 years ago. I was praying for this lady. And I had my eyes closed, and I suddenly saw her rib cage. I saw inside of her body like an x-ray. And there was this demon, and he had his, think of this thing here as a backbone, like her backbone. Or he had his feet like this on her pelvic bones. His back was on her backbone, and his hands were on the rib cage like this. He was in there. You know, if I had any doubts that demons could be in people, I saw that sucker. And he was doing like this. Because he was afraid, because we were coming at him. And he was clinging to the ribs like the bars of a cage. It was the weirdest thing. Let me tell you, when you get a vision like that, you get mad. Oh, the power of the Lord came. Because I saw that sucker. And we cast him out. And he was in there. And he was mad. Because somebody discerned him and told him to leave. These things don't just leave. Do you understand? You can get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues, tithe, go to church, do good. Guess what? Demon can still hide inside. They just burrow down in. The Bible says you shall cast out demons. And the Greek word is akbalo, which means thrust out violently. They have to be cast out. Now, some of them go because you're just no fun anymore. But others of them burrow down just like termites. And they wait. And they wait generations. You know, some of these demons will wait two generations. We're talking 70, 140 years. They'll wait. They say, well, I ain't going to work on this. So I'll just wait to pass down the generation line, and I'll manifest in their kids or their kids' kids. That's when I'll come out and manifest. These are, we're talking creatures that are disembodied beings that don't have death. They don't die. They can wait a long time. One time we were exercising, and is it getting late? I'll tell you this story. One time we were exercising a house, and there was a demon that was sitting in the corner that had been sitting there 50 years. I used to think, didn't he get bored? We don't understand the things of the spirit realm. But we need to know enough to know that we have authority over them. Can you hear an amen? Hola, Matita. Come on, bear with me. I know it's a little late, but you know what? Is it good to stay and receive? I want to finish this list tonight. The anointing is here. Hola, Masita. Go through a few more of these things in Jesus' name. Physical abnormalities. Oh, I didn't come against it. Pains that travel about the body in Jesus' name. Unexplained pains. Go in the name of the Lord. Father, I pray right now. Come, Holy Spirit. I break the power. First of all, I pray for real wisdom on the part of those who feel these pains. From this point on, they'll recognize, whoa, that is not normal. That's something demonic. And you know, you can minister self-deliverance. You can put your hand and say, whoa, stop right there. You're out of there. I know you. You understand? You can, you have authority in Jesus' name. Take authority over these things. Tumors, growths, and cysts. Any tumors and growths and cysts on any part of the body. A lot of times these things are physiological, but a lot of times they're demonic. Okay? And if they are physiological, there may be a demon keeping it or hindering it. Well, Father, I pray right now for the flow of healing in the room. Every person that has any growth, any tumor, a tumor that's buried down inside the body. Father, we pray, by the way, this anointing could just flow over to Mike Bolton tonight, hospital, where she's had abscess in her colon. Every cyst, Lord, every abnormality, every wart, Lord Jesus, everything that's coming up through the skin, everything that's every hardened area, every area where there's just a buried lump or stone type, I break it. I command you to loose the body right now. I peak your power. Any demon tied into these sicknesses and these diseases, in the name of the Lord, we break the generation curse. I peak its power right now. Father, I ask you to cut off its supply lines in Jesus' name. Dry up. I command you to shrink. How? Him and the Lord. Shrink. How? Decrease. Decrease. How? Him and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever it is. Whatever part of the body, in Jesus' name, shrink. Decrease. Now. Go. I command you to go. Now. By the way, healing is the first fruits of the kingdom to come. This says, give us this day our daily bread. Healings are the first fruits. When we die and go be with Jesus, we're going to get perfectly healed bodies. Amen? But in this dispensation, we have first fruits. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have a glorified body in this life. No, that's not the case. Your body is going to get old, okay? There is no healing against that. Okay, but where's a glorified body? But in this dispensation, the Bible says we have the earnest of the Spirit, the first fruits, so we can access and appropriate grace for healing in a lot of areas of our life. A few more areas. Hola, Masita, premature death. The Lord is still quickening to me tonight, so you need to bear with me tonight. Premature, you know one of the greatest sources of premature death is? You know what it is? It's dishonoring your mom and dad. Because the promise is when you honor your father and mother, it says that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long upon this earth. And the corollary is true. When you dishonor, you curse your mom and dad, it will not be well with you and you will not live long upon this earth. It is the cause of premature death. So if there's anyone here that you've got any bitterness or judgment or unforgiveness towards mom and dad, you need to let it go. You're going to kill yourself. Are you hearing me? If you've ever cursed your mother or your father, even in your heart, Bible says you should curse. If you curse someone in your heart, a bird of the air will carry and it will tell the matter. You need to ask forgiveness. Say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for any way that I've dishonored my mom or dad, that I've dishonored any authority in my life. I want to live every day that you've ordained for me. Satan, you have no place in my life. The blood of Jesus forgives me. Premature death, death spirits, I command you to go. I shall not die, but live and praise the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ overcame death by his resurrection of the dead. Spirit of death, I command you to leave me now. I renounce you out of my life, out of the lives of my children in Jesus' name. Now I speak to death right now. Death, I break your power. In the name of the Lord, the Bible says Jesus removed the sting of death. We pull the sting out. I break psychic power. That means that's like a wasp that has no sting. That thing can buzz around, but it ain't, you don't have to be scared of it anymore. It's been de-stung, de-stinged. In the name of the Lord, I break the power of that thing. Death, go! Hand you to go in Jesus' name. Come on, death, in the name of the Lord, leave. I break the power. Go, go. Whoa, I just saw in the spirit, a bunch, I just sensed the spirit say gray haze. I don't know what that thing was, and it's right in there. In the name of the Lord, I break your power. I change it into you gray haze. You gray, it was a spirit of death. It was a lingering spirit. I break your, change your lead. He said, go. God showed it to me, so you have to go. I change your lead, these things. And there's a few of them over there. I break, go. Cow, go. Paid you to go. That's why I saw you, you gray haze. It was a little gray thing sitting over the head. I paid you to go now. Father, let light shine. Father, let these saints live every day you've ordained in life. Beat the power of that death. Go, death. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath, saints. Come on. Come on. Take a deep breath. Let it go. The Lord's opened my eyes to see something in the spirit here. I got to keep my eyes closed to see it. Oh, Lord, Father, I pray, Father, let eternal life come into this life. Father, we would live every day that's ordained of us, for we don't want to die before our time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We cancel the assignment of death tonight. We cancel the plan of death. The Bible says, who redeems thy life from destruction. In the name of Jesus, you spirit. Come on. Come on. This is the last thing I'm going to do tonight. I'm sensing the spirit right now. I want you to be with me. Come on. Come on. Every demon that's assigned to bring destruction or calamity or accidents, every demon that's assigned to shorten the lifespan, you go. I cancel you. Beat your power. God has promised every one of us a full life. Length of days to the righteous. Now you go. We banish you. Beat your power. Cancel it once for all. The power of the blood. Because Jesus Christ took the keys of hell and death and took them from Satan. And he said, I have the keys of hell and death. And death, you have no more power. None. We speak to death itself to leave these saints. Everybody stand, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath. Come, Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a song before we go home. We need to pray protection. Would you move that over there, please? Man, I don't know what that was I saw. But when I began to pray against that spirit of death, there was a number of people. It was like, I don't know, it was like gray haze just sitting over your head. It was almost like a curse. It's gone, man. All you have to do is submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he flees. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus!
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.